Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that there's that kind of power here tonight? Amen. To break every chain. Amen. There's no stronghold of the enemy that can stand before the power of the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. I don't care what the name of that demon is. Amen. It can't stand. It's been defeated at Calvary. Amen. Brother, sister, the best place for you to start dancing tonight is on your chains. Amen. I don't know a better place to get victory. I don't know a better place to praise and worship God, but standing on the chains, amen, that once bound you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's power here tonight. Amen. Amen. We're not lacking in power tonight. We're not lacking in authority. We're just lacking in the faith to activate it. Amen. And I would say that we're not even lacking that. Amen. We just need to take what we have and move forward with it. Amen. The prophet said, you're just afraid. We're just scared. That's all he said. We're just afraid to step out. We're afraid that we need some kind of supernatural, super faith. He said, but it's common faith. Amen. He said, it's the faith that you use to get into your car, the faith you use to turn on a light. That's the kind of faith that activates that power tonight that can break every chain of the enemy. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Praise God. Brother, sister, we should walk out of here a victorious people tonight. Amen. Amen. We might have come in bound, oppressed. Amen. But we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to leave the same way that we came in. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to be here tonight. Amen. Thank you, musicians. You can have your seats for a moment. We just want to greet everyone in the name of the Lord. You know, I finally got smart after all these years. I would always wear my coat, my suit jacket up here and take it off and then take it with me. And I said, well, that's kind of silly. I wore it up here and I just took it off first thing. So I just leave it in the back and that makes it a lot easier. I don't think y'all mind if I wear a suit coat up here or not, right? Amen. So, you know, you can learn a few things after a few years. It takes a while sometimes, but by God's grace, we'll catch up. Amen. Amen. Just a wonderful testimony from our pastor there in Korea, and we just want to continue to pray for them. They've got a long journey home, and it's hard enough the day after or after preaching meetings and after being used of the Lord, and then to throw a 14 or a 16-hour international flight on top of that, they're bound to be worn out, tired in body and in spirit. So we just want to ask that the Lord would rejuvenate them and just remember them in your prayers. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, you know, we were reading there in 1 Samuel, and so I'd like to just pick right back up there in 1 Samuel. We're going to go ahead and move into the 7th chapter. Completely different subject, but we're picking up kind of right in the same portion of the Bible. If you'd stand with me tonight, we'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and just read a single verse here, just as a text to get us started. Amen. How many love the Lord tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, as we were saying this morning, the ark had been lost to Israel. The glory of the Lord had departed, and they were going through a great time of trial. But now, as we come into the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel, the ark has been returned to Israel. They've been given another chance to turn back to God. Samuel the prophet now is on the scene, and he is God's mouthpiece to Israel. And he says these words to them, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Amen. Now let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we Just thank you once again for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just anoint your word as it goes forth, Lord, for we're not interested in an intellectual understanding of your word tonight, Lord. We're not interested in just letting our minds be tickled by the word of God and just in our natural understanding. But Lord, we want this word, your word, to penetrate to our hearts, Lord, to penetrate to our souls, Lord, and to feed us in our innermost being, Lord. We want it to be a living word tonight, Lord. We pray that you would anoint it with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that it would go forth and would stir up the hearts of your children. Father, I know, Lord, this word that you put on my heart, Lord, it's stirred me up, Lord. It's got me, Lord, pressing and looking and trying. And, oh God, I pray that it would do the same for all of us tonight, Lord, that we can draw nearer to you. Father, we want you to be glorified here this evening, Lord. And I pray that you bless the visitors that have come here tonight, Lord, to worship with us. And I pray that you would grant them their portion, Lord, tonight as you bless and speak to them, Lord, and to the home folk as well. Father, be with each one, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Just want to read a little statement out of the message preparation. He says, now, mother, you here in the stretcher, and this dear, loving person, mother here and here and all around the building, he's preparing for prayer for the sick. He says, what I want to do tonight, by God's help, if he will let me, is to speak his word to you that'll prepare your heart for the healing service. Now, I want you to listen close. Preparation. God, before he does anything, he always prepares for it. How could we, as it spoke in the Bible, before we go over to fight a war, first we have to prepare for that war. If you're going to get married, why, you prepare for that time. And you have preparations. And before you come to church, you made preparations. The ambulance bring you. I trust no one came by ambulance here tonight. Or your loved one to bring you. Or you had a certain amount of money ready for you could come. It's preparations. And God always prepares the people for the events that's just about to happen. Amen. And tonight I want to speak on preparations for blessings. Preparing for blessings. Preparing for God's blessings. Amen. Preparing for what God is going to do and move among us individually and as a body and as a body worldwide. Amen. So in order to receive his presence, which was the ark coming back to Israel, the prophet Samuel said, prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Get ready. Because the presence of the Lord is coming. And you are not in a condition to receive him. You are not in a condition to properly receive the King of Glory. And you need to put away, he says, put away those false gods, the strange gods, the worldliness that's pulled at you, and that you've maybe gone astray after. He says, and prepare your hearts and be ready to serve him. And if you do that, he said, he will deliver into your hand your enemies. Amen. So we see where Brother Branham said here in this message that we need to have a time of preparation, a time of sanctifying, a time of consecration, because God can supernaturally and sovereignly come and move and bless you. But that blessing is much more effective if there's been a preparation ahead of time. And many times he will wait for that preparation to be in place before he brings that blessing. Amen. Because in that preparation, a lot of times is hidden within that, the blessing that's coming, right? It's all part of it. So we see this principle over and over in scriptures. You see, the believer has to fight in this age against just general worldliness. We walk in this world, but we're not of the world. But like the men and the, and women in the New Testament, when Jesus commissioned them to wash their feet, it's not that they were sinful men, but they were walking in the dusty streets of Jerusalem, at where the animals had done their business, and there was dirt and manure and whatever, and they gathered that just by walking in this world. Walk around barefoot for a while and see how dirty your feet get. And so they would wash their feet as a sign of a cleansing and a preparation. Amen. We get that way just from walking in the world. Just carnality can hinder us and hinder the believer from receiving what God intends for you to have, for what you have need of. Amen. Unbelief hinders God blessing you. Amen. Sometimes that unbelief is buried so deep down into our daily lives, down into our daily walk and way of living and being. Sometimes it's buried so down deep into a habit or a tradition that we don't even realize that it's unbelief. And it takes a time of real consecration, and it takes a work of the Holy Ghost to reveal it to you and say, look, this is hindering you. Amen. This is preventing God from blessing you the way that he wants to. And so it takes a real time of preparation to deal with something like that, to bring it to light. Amen. That's why many times people don't receive the baptism is because they haven't fully surrendered. Right? Because sometimes you say, well, what takes the time? Well, sometimes it just takes time for God to reveal those things to you so that you can surrender them, so you can ask for forgiveness. And amen. But once you fully surrender, then he's promised to give it to you. Amen. Let's also want to just read a little scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 29. This is an example in the Old Testament. This is King Hezekiah, and we know that Israel had this up and down and up and down and up and down relationship with Jehovah, right? Where they were serving him and on board with following his word, and then they would backslide. They would get a king or something, would pull them away, and they were in and out and up and down, right? So in 2 Chronicles, they've been serving other gods, and now God is using Hezekiah to restore, bring them back. But look what it says. It says, they gathered their brethren, and they sanctified themselves, and they came according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. That's the temple. The temple was a place set aside for worship. Amen? But so, in order for God to be properly worshiped, they had to go through and, man, just clean house. They had to scrub it and sanctify it and prepare it. Says the priest went into the inner part of the house of God to cleanse it. They got out the scouring pads. Right? Right? So I believe that there was a natural cleansing and a spiritual cleansing. They maybe cleaned out the old artifacts of whatever the religions of the day had left there. They cleansed it, brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it abroad to the brook Kidron. They kicked it out. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. And so they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. And then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar of the burnt offering with the vessels thereof, and the showbread table and all the vessels thereof. Moreover, with all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. We put everything in order. We've followed the blueprint exactly. We've not left a stone unturned. We looked at every crack and corner. We made sure there were no vestiges of that old religion left in there. Anything that we found, we tossed it out. We didn't have mercy on it. We didn't try and just sell it on Craigslist. We got rid of it. Amen? Not that there's anything wrong with selling it on Craigslist. right? But they no mercy, right? They were getting rid of it. Get it out of here. We don't want it. Amen. This is going to be the sanctified house of the living God. This is serious business. Amen. This is the temple of the living God. So, brother, sister, as we move higher in our walk, we are required a deeper and deeper consecration. Amen. As we grow closer to Christ, our sin, our awareness of sin grows. Sin becomes exceeding sinful. And not just sin, but carnality. Right? Because as we know, Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And so there are things that as we move deeper and deeper into our consecrated life with Christ, there are things that are not expedient to that communion with God, to that relationship. Things that may not be sinful, but they just take up your time. They take you away. Right? They distract you or you know, at best they're a distraction. There are lots of things like that. Not lawful, but not the best thing that you could be doing to grow closer to Christ. Amen? And sometimes in our walk, we just reach dry places. We come to points where we're just walking through a spiritual desert. Amen? Times of testing to see how you're going to react. Are you going to give up? Are you going to just sit down and mope and say, well, this is a dry time, this is a dry desert, I guess, you know, the used to be that the Holy Spirit would just move in the services, but now it's not, so I'll start to play the blame game. Right? You know, when the Spirit of God begins to move, and if you have special meetings or whatever, or regular meetings, and the Spirit is moving, many times people can just get on the coattails, so to speak. Right? There's an atmosphere, and man, you can just enter in, and you don't even have to work at it. You just come in, and man, there's an atmosphere, and I can just float, just ride the wave. Amen? But then it comes to a dry time when that's not there. How do you react then? Well, it's the pastor's fault. He's not preaching the right stuff. He's too hard on us. Well, it's not the pastor's fault. Well, maybe it's somebody else's fault. Maybe somebody has a secret sin that they're not telling us about and they're hindering the services. Well, maybe this is just a time of testing. Maybe God is just seeing what you're going to do. Maybe he's just not going to hand it to you on a platter. Maybe you need to get in and do a little preparation to receive the blessings of God. Amen. Instead, we want to blame somebody or something. We've got to stay with the Word. Amen. We got to stay with our pastor. Amen. As he stays with the Word, step by step, more consecrated. Start preparations for the blessings to be able to flow. Amen. God works in those times of preparation. That's how he has always worked. Amen. In Luke, the first chapter here, 13th verse, this is the angel coming to speak of John the Baptist. He says, the angel said, fear not, Zacharias. Thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. John was came in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way of the Lord. That was the prophecy, right? He says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, turning their hearts. Amen. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Listen to this. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. going and turning the hearts, coming in a time of great dryness for Israel, because they hadn't had a prophet in hundreds of years, and it was a time of preparation. John came, and he didn't come with great miracle ministry. He didn't come with great supernatural things like Jesus did, but he came with the word of the Lord to prepare and turn the hearts of the people. And his whole ministry was to prepare them for the coming of the Lord. For the greatest gift and greatest blessing that the earth had ever seen. And his whole ministry was a time of preparation. Think about that. That's how much God thinks of this principle. We know that Malachi 4 in our day had the same type of ministry. Turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. But preparing the bride to meet her bridegroom. Preparing the church for the coming of the Lord. His whole ministry was turning the hearts, restoring the word, all is a preparation. Amen. God preparing his people for what was to come. Noah spent most of his ministry and life preparing. Every sermon he preached was about preparing. Get ready. There's a flood coming. And they said, you know, sooner or later, we'd like to see this happen, you know. I mean, there's nothing happening, Noah. It's all preparation and preparation, and all you're doing is building and building and building. What if Noah would have got discouraged partway through and only built half an ark? He wouldn't have been ready. And those that received his message of preparation. Now, what I'm trying to get to you is it's a lot of work. It's hard. Amen. Everybody wants to receive the blessings, but nobody wants to do the preparing. So Noah, he couldn't stop partway through. He couldn't get weary and say, man, I don't know, it's been, 100 years. I believe many probably did. Many that started out following Noah's message and turned away because the preparation got too hard. Amen. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. The Lord speaking through his prophet says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. How many want God to rain righteousness upon him? Amen. How many want the portals of heaven to open up and the blessings of God to fall onto your life? Amen. To reap a harvest of God's blessings. Amen. How many want that tonight? Amen. Is that what you want? Are you willing to break up the fallow ground? That's the question. Before a farmer can enjoy a harvest, he's got a lot of work to do. You know, reaping the harvest is just the little last part of it. Smallest part of the work. It's kind of like, there's a lot of things in that, like that in life. You know, it's like an Olympic athlete. Everybody only sees them at the last part when they're running the race and winning the gold medal and they're on the podium and man, woo, awesome, right? But they don't see the years and years of sacrifice and toil and struggle and pain through injury and everything that they go through. Discouragement, time away from family to get to that point. They don't see the preparation. They only see the ending. They see that blessing. Brother, sister, I'll just say this. When your pastor comes out and preaches a powerful message, amen, and it's on point, and man, it spoke to me or it spoke to somebody in the audience, and it's God speaking. It's God using him. And it's the words coming forth in power. And it's doing what God wanted it to accomplish. Brother, sister, that's just the end part of it that you're seeing. You're not seeing the hours of preparation and study and prayer and toil and agony that's going on for that to happen. That doesn't just happen. There's a preparation that must come. Amen. So, receiving a harvest of blessing in your spiritual field is no different. Like I said, yes, God can come down and sovereignly bless you. But usually he requires some preparation first. So a farmer, a fallow ground, what that means is that's ground that has not been tilled or has not been cultivated. It's lying dormant. It's inactive. It's a part of your life that you haven't allowed God to take control over, to produce fruit in. It's inactive. It's set aside, but, you know, it's not being used by the master. Amen. So a farmer that would take that, oftentimes a field like that, there's something growing on it. You know, it's not just bare dirt, unless it's out in the desert and there's no water. But even then, you know, you got the monsoon, so there's probably some weeds out there that can grow. But in normal parts of the world, where they get rain a lot, there's usually going to be weeds all over that field. Amen. There's going to be stuff growing in there, depending on how long since it's been tilled. There could be some big ones. There could be trees with roots. Amen. So the first thing the farmer has to do is he's got to mow that field down. And maybe burn it. Cut down any trees. Grind up any roots. Grind up the stumps. Amen. Mow every last bit of weed or grass or even the pretty flowers. He cannot spare any of it. Because it's being put in the service of the master. He can't spare any of it. He's got to mow it all down. He's got to clean it all off. Amen. Complete cleaning. Now, then he might take what we would call like a disc. That's something you'd pull behind a tractor, and it's got these sharp implements, these sharp discs that they come and they cut it up. And anything that's left, any roots that are in the soil or any of the plant material that's left over, it chops it all up and just cuts it up, preparing that soil. Amen. And that's a lot of work too. And then he might come with a plow behind that. And that plow digs down deep in that soil. It digs down way underneath where you really don't know what's going on down there. And it turns it over. It lays bare, shows you what's going on underneath the surface. It takes and digs a furrow, cuts through the soil, preparing a place for the crop to be planted. Amen. Spiritually speaking now. Amen. This is the preparation that Hosea is saying. Break up your fallow ground. Maybe you need to take a plow to it. Maybe you need to take a disc to it. Maybe you gotta mow it off first. Get in there and dig those things out of your life. After they take a plow, maybe they'll take something that we would call a harrow or something like that that would smooth it over and break up the clods and break up the earth and make it fit to be able to be planted. And then comes the planting and the watering and the care and the further tilling and the keeping the weeds out, keeping the bugs off of it. All of that and then the harvest. That's then the blessing. So you see, what I'm trying to say is this is a lot of work sometimes, right? Not that we are justified or saved by our works, but if you want to be ready for God's blessings, it takes effort. Amen. Spiritual work. Brother, sister, sometimes it feels like we're just endlessly plowing. Anybody ever had that feeling? It just feels like, man, this row's never going to end. I'm just plowing and plowing and plowing. Service after service, I'm plowing. Take heart, you're plowing, you're making progress. Amen. As long as you're not standing still. keep plowing. Amen. You're going to reap a harvest someday. Because, brother, sister, how well the field is prepared determines the harvest that you will receive. Amen. If you leave all kinds of junk in your field, that's the kind of harvest you're going to receive. It's going to be sparse and spindly. It's going to compete with the thorns and the thistles. Amen. Some Christians' lives are like that. They leave thorns and thistles around in their field, and then they wonder why their spiritual blessings are choked out. Why the word of God can't produce fruit in their lives. Amen. Jesus told that parable of the different seeds, the seeds that were cast in different types of ground. Amen. Well, brother, sister, you and I are just as susceptible to anyone to have thorns and thistles come into our field. They just fly through the air. Amen. That's part of the world that we live in. You don't have to go out and plant weeds. They just float in. But your job is to make sure that they don't have a place to grow and to root. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the size and quality of the harvest is determined by how well your field is prepared. Amen. Let me give you a little example. We've used this before. But I think this is just an excellent lesson in the scripture. 2 Kings chapter 4. There's a woman who's a widow. She's in debt. She can't pay her bills. As I said, she's a widow. Her husband has died and left her with this debt. She has no way to make a living. And she's wondering what she's going to do. In verse 2, Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" She's got the ear of the prophet. "Tell me what hast," and he says, "Tell me what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." The cupboards were bare. Amen. She had nothing in the house. She had nothing to bring. Amen. "Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling." She was empty and devoid, not bringing anything. All she had was a pot of oil. And he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So God, through his prophet, tells her to prepare herself for the blessing. Amen. Now, God is going to provide the oil. But she must provide the vessel. This is a great spiritual lesson for us. God's going to provide the outpouring and the blessing, but you've got to provide the vessel. Amen. That's your job. Now, her expectation influenced her preparation. If her expectation was, "Well, I don't know, maybe he was just thinking one or two little pots, and so I'll go over to the neighbor and I'll borrow one or two little pots and we'll get those filled with oil." If that was her expectation, that's what she got. That was the preparation that she made. But if she was expecting abundantly and above, so man, this is God's prophet. I mean, I'm going to take what I would normally expect, and I'm going to like multiply it by 10. And then I'm going to go some more just for a good measure. Amen. It influenced her expectation. Listen to me now. Her expectation influenced her preparation. And her preparation, amen, what she prepared for directly affected the blessing. So she decided, well, I got to go borrow some vessels, right? So she went around and she was asking all her neighbors. Now, I believe God helped her with that. That was her job to do. But the Holy Spirit is with us to help in the preparation. He's the one that's pointing out all the little problems. Amen. He's faithful to do that, to lead us and to guide us. And I believe that God prepared ahead of time neighbors that had vessels for her. And God allowed certain people to be in a certain place and not to be on a journey and so on and so forth, because she was one of his children and he was going to provide for her. But she still had to go out and do it. She still had to go out and ask. She still had to go out. And when she had the living room full of vessels, she had to say, no, my expectation says that there's more. Because I serve a mighty God. I need to go out and get some more. I need to prepare for more. You know, maybe her son said, man, don't you think this is enough? No. My God is a mighty God. Amen. And he can do beyond what I can think. And when she collected the vessels, she could only get empty ones. And if they weren't empty, they needed to be emptied. Amen. Whatever they were holding had to be dumped out on the floor. Amen. I can't have a vessel. You know, well, you know, she goes over to her neighbor and she's, oh man, I got this great big one. You can borrow that one. Oh great. Is it empty? Well, no. You see, it's got all of my kitchen stuff in it. You see, I had a Pampered Chef party last night and I needed some place to store all of this. So it's full of kitchen stuff. All right. Or it's full of candles. Whatever. I don't know. It's full of camping stuff. All right. There's for the guys. It's full of fishing stuff, hunting stuff. I don't know. Stuff, right? We're earthly, worldly stuff. Well, I can't use it like that. God can't use that. God can't fill that vessel. It's got stuff in it. Well, this is good stuff. Well, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure you need every one of those little kitchen utensils. I'm sure you need the latest and greatest camping, backpacking, sports, whatever thing. I'm sure you need that. But God can't bless, God can't fill that vessel. I'm sure you need to be doing all of those things that's taking up so much of your time. But God can't fill that. I'm sure you need all of those of man's ideas and every a doctrine and tradition that you've built up after 30 years in the message. I'm sure you need that. But God can't fill that. Amen. Amen. He's looking for an empty vessel tonight. She said, I can't use that. It's got stuff in it. Well, what should I do? Well, just dump it out. That's pretty simple. Well, what do I do with the stuff? I don't know. It's your stuff here. I just want the vessel. Just give me an empty vessel. That's all I'm looking for. I don't need the worldly stuff. Amen. I just need a vessel that God can fill with his spirit. Maybe some of them are dirty. Man, there's 3 inches of sand in the bottom of this one. What have they been doing with it? I don't know, but it's not good enough to fill with oil. We got to wash it. It's got to be clean. It's got to be emptied out and ready, prepared to be filled. Amen. But sister, that's a lot of work. Amen. I imagine her neighbors didn't think too highly of her too. Man, just give it to her and so she'll go away. Sure. God's people are always strange. He can't take a vessel filled with your own works. He's not interested in that. He wants you to empty that out. He's not interested in taking the sacrifice of your goodness. He's not looking for that tonight. He's looking for you to empty your vessel, to dump it out, to scrub it out, to get every last bit of flesh, dirt out of it. Amen. Get the spider webs out of it. Clean it out. Get the little dead lizards out of it. Amen. He wants to fill us, but it takes a preparation. Listen to this from the message, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. Listen, he says, God's strategy. Now, God's the greatest general that ever was. So he's going to have the best strategy, right? He's never lost a battle. Never will. Amen. The great general of heaven, he's got a good strategy. Right? He's going to take the strongest among us and he's going to use them. No, he says his strategy is to take empty human vessels. Empty human vessels. And shake the world with them. Oh, hallelujah. Now, just a little bit and we'll go. Like at Pentecost. At Pentecost, what did he do? He had taken them 10 days to get all emptied up. Did you ever think of it that way? What were they waiting for? Well, they were waiting for the day of Pentecost to fully come. Well, no. Why did God have them in there all of that time leading up to? Why didn't he just send them up there on the day of Pentecost and then they could have received it, right? No, because there's a time of preparation. Amen. He says, look, it took them those 10 days to get emptied up. Not filled up, emptied up. Emptied out, we would say. Right? But they was all standing there with their vessels turned up. God took himself and filled them up. Hallelujah. You want a filling tonight? Amen. You want a filling tonight? Amen. You got to get an empty vessel. Amen. If we're too filled up, what's God going to fill you? How's he going to fill you? You're already filled up. He says, God took himself and filled them up. That's all. They shook the world. He poured himself into them. And that's what we need today. That's what we need today is the empty vessels. Wow. What's the great thing that we are in need of today? Don't we need more power? Don't we need something stirring and shaking? What we need is empty vessels. Amen. He says, yes, sir. So God can fill them up. He says, you cannot take them. I got to bypass a lot here. God cannot use them as long as they're already filled up. If you're full of theological training, God can't use you. God's got to have empty vessels so he can fill them. Right? I mean, he had to put Moses in the desert for 40 years just to empty him out. 40 years of preparation. My goodness, talk about a preparing. 40 years to empty out all that he had learned in Egypt. Amen. Paul had to go out in the desert for 3.5 years to prepare. God's got to have empty vessels so he can fill them. Now, Elijah didn't say, go get some empty vessel or some vessels and borrow a lot of oil. And we'll see if we can just get a good sale price on it. And you get a little more and you can pay the neighbor back like that. He said, get the empty vessels. That's what you need. He said, that's all you need. And that's what it was at Pentecost. They had empty vessels so God could fill them up. Brother, this day demands that. So is this important tonight? Is this integral to our going on with God? He says this day demands that. Empty vessels. This day's got to have that. Look what he says. We'll have that or perish. He says, I'm going to close now, but listen, we got to have that or perish. My goodness. That puts seriousness to it, doesn't it? That should put us into a state of desperation. God, I've got to have this. I've got to be emptied out, Lord. I need to be prepared and ready for you to fill me, Lord. Lord, I gotta help me, Lord, to dig out and clean out all the vessels of my heart and my life. Make me ready to receive your Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Life and death. Brother Branham said, we gotta have it or perish. And you know the story, we didn't finish the story, but the woman gathered all the vessels together. And God filled the vessels, and she sold the oil, and it provided all of her needs, and she was able to pay her debts, and God provided for her what she had need of according to her expectation and according to her preparation. Now, if we just skip one chapter earlier in 2 Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 3, there's another story I'm sure that we're all familiar with. Israel was going out to fight against Moab. Moab was rebelling against them. This is after, I believe, Ahab had died. And so the joint nations, Judah and Israel, were getting together to go to put down the rebellion of Moab. And Jehoshaphat was part of the group, and they were going out, the armies, the combined armies, and they got out there in the desert place, and they had no water. They were going to die. It was a serious situation. Not only would the kingdoms be defeated because the whole army would be destroyed and the kings and everything. I mean, that was the flower of the nations, right? The army, the strength of Israel. It would be a tragedy, a great blow. And so they called the prophet Elisha. Amen. And they said, help us, for we're going to perish. We're going to be defeated by our enemies. Help us. And, you know, he said, well, you know, I wouldn't even talk to you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. I wouldn't even regard you. But he's here, and so I'm going to speak to you. Amen. And he was kind of in a sour mood. And he said, bring me a minstrel. Play some worship music for me so that I can get into the right atmosphere. Amen. And the Lord used him to speak. And what he said is, and this is 2 Kings 3:16, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. And he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Amen. God's going to provide your need. He's going to provide abundantly above your need. And he's going to deliver that struggle, that war, that battle that you were in. He's going to give you the victory in that battle over your enemies. But first, you got some digging to do. Hallelujah. Right out here in the desert, driest place, out there where there is no water, where they are dying of thirst, he commanded them to start digging. I imagine if you've ever dug in dry ground, every shovelful was mocking them. Dust coming up into their face. As they went deeper, it just got dry. It's just dry, dry, dry. No sign of water, life, nothing. Amen. But God told them to dig. Right there where there was no, right in the worst. They were in the worst, the low of the low of their trial. Amen. They were in the hardest part of the trial. They were at the point of giving up, of dying, of not being able to go on. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever been there? Right in your trial, you know that it can't, can it get any worse? The lowest point, the hardest trial. Amen. And that's when God said, dig. That's when God said, begin to prepare. For there's a gusher coming. Amen. And every shovelful mocked them with its dryness. and it parched their throats, and it made them cough and everything else. Amen. No water to be found. They thought, well, maybe if we dig down, maybe we'll find the water and that'll be it. No. They dug and dug and there was no water to be found. What they were doing seemed crazy to the natural mind. It didn't make any sense. But brother, sister, the more dirt, and your flesh is made of dirt, dust thou art. Amen. The more flesh they could move out of the way, the more room they had for water. The more room they had for the outpouring of God, for the blessing of God, for the life-giving water of God. The more flesh, the more dirt they could move, the more room they had for God's blessings. Now I imagine they probably hit all kinds of things. If you ever dug in the ground, you know, man, you find all kinds of crazy things. And even if it's not in an area that's been inhabited, there's going to be roots. There's going to be critters. There's going to be rocks. They're digging down. Okay, it's easy going. Then all of a sudden, clank, big old rock. Well, how big is it, right? Can I get all the way around it? Oh, man, this is going to be a two-man job. And then they got to get around it and get a pry bar under it. This is hard work. Rocks and stones and roots and plants and maybe they uncovered snakes. Amen. Digging into your life is not an easy thing, brother, sister. Letting the Holy Spirit shine the light of the gospel in those dark corners of your life, sometimes it's not comfortable. Spending that time before the Master, that time in prayer and agonizing with God and holding on, it's digging, it's preparing, it's not easy. But we've got to dig out the rubbish of our own ability. Amen. Just throw it out. The rubbish of your own ability that you've been leaning on, that you've been trusting on. Take that and throw it out. God can't use it. Amen. It's just getting in the way. Throw it out and let Him fill that. Amen. Make room for the Spirit of God. We've got to dig out the fault finding. The blame game. Amen. The backbiting. The stiff neck formalism. Amen. You got to root that out of your life. Superstitions and unbelief. Traditions of man. Things that have held on. You got to dig that out. It's dig or die. Dig or perish. This is life or death. They were dying in that wilderness. They needed the water. If you hit a root or a snag, just throw it out. Amen. You come into some worldliness, something in the world that's caught your attention. Oh, brother, sister, you got to cut that out. You got to dig it out of your life. It may not be easy, but you've got to toss it. You find something that, oh man, I just don't know if I can give this up. I don't know if I can surrender it. You gotta toss it. It's in the way. Make room for the Spirit of God. Tear down those strongholds in your life. Possessions that are filling you up, or the want of possessions, just as bad, if not worse. The want of things. This thing after that thing, just toss it out. The deeper that you dig, the more water you can hold. Deeper and deeper. How many want a deeper walk with God? How many want a deeper consecration with God? Amen. The Bible says that the water came rushing down. Amen. And it filled that valley. Every place that they had dug down, it filled it. God came down with His part, the blessing. But they had to do their part. They had to be ready for it. They had to do the digging and the preparing. they had to do that hard, tough work. Everybody wants the blessings of God. But nobody wants to go through the preparation. So if you're in a dry point in your life or in your walk, or you feel like, what's going on? Why do I feel like I'm just, you know, there's the blessings aren't flowing like they were. Maybe it's a time of preparation. Maybe God is looking for you to dig a little deeper. Maybe God is looking for you to root out those things that have been hindering you. Maybe it's a time of preparation for you. And then if God is calling you to a time of preparation like that, then brother, sister, there's a time of blessing a coming. Amen. He's going to bless that. And when he does, the deeper that you've gone, the more that blessing is going to be. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's prepare for God's blessings tonight. Let's be up and doing. Amen. Let's be moving on, but not discouraged. Just because you don't see the big things and the big outpouring coming yet, just wait. Amen. Just off in the distance, there might be the abundance of rain. But God's just holding it off, saying, nope, he's not quite ready yet. Nope, he's got some things in his life yet. He won't be able to hold it. Amen. He's not emptied out yet. That blessing's just waiting there. Ready. That gusher's just sitting right above you waiting to pour down. But God's just holding it back. Waiting for an empty vessel. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, just said what you put on my heart tonight, Father. Believe that it's your will, Lord. We don't know all the ins and outs and whys, Lord, but we know to be obedient to your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray, Lord, tonight for each and every one of my brothers and sisters in this place, Father, that you would help us. Lord, help me. Lord, you've spoken to me tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I want to be more consecrated, Lord. Lord, I want to be more emptied out, Lord. I want to be that empty vessel, Lord, that you can fill, oh, God. Lord, I pray that you would help my brothers and sisters in this place tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, to dig out our ditches tonight, oh, God. Help us to prepare our field, Lord. Oh, God, for the harvest, the planting, the fruit that's coming, oh, God. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord. Shine the light of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, in our lives. Lord, help us to be emptied out. Letting go, oh God. Not holding on to, God, those things that would hinder us. But Lord, surrendering completely to you tonight. Lord, bless each one, Father. Lord, just as we change the order of the service, Father, I pray that you would move, Lord, on every heart here tonight. Lord, move on our hearts, Lord. Draw us, oh God, into a deeper consecration, Lord. A closer walk with you, Lord. Encourage those that have, maybe they've been plowing for a while, Lord. But Lord, they're getting somewhere. Father, I pray you encourage them tonight. There's a blessing coming their way. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we love you tonight, Lord. We just want to worship you, Lord. We're looking for your blessings, oh God. Prepare our hearts now in Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. Oh, just worship him tonight, church. Just let him draw you into a preparation time tonight. Let him draw you. let him wrap his loving arms around you. Say, my child, empty yourself out tonight. Let go and let God have his way. Surrender tonight. Let him fill that empty vessel. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, God, we love you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's going to take some preparation on your part, brother, sister. It's going to take some work sometimes. Dying out is hard. A deeper consecration is hard. But that's what he's calling for tonight. Brother Ram said that's what's needed in this hour, those empty vessels. Oh, hallelujah. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for your strength tonight. He's looking for your weakness. He's looking for somebody to surrender to him tonight. Somebody to say, oh God, I give up. Lord, I can't do it. Come and fill my empty vessel tonight. I'm not leaning on my own strength, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Let him speak to you tonight, just in this little quiet time. God, show me where I need to empty my vessel, Lord. Show me, Lord God, where I'm hindering, Lord. Where I'm too filled up, where you can't fill me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Let that be your prayer tonight. He'll show you. He'll speak to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Vessel of honor for God tonight. Amen. A vessel.